Hey, Gaz, what are you doing at Super Bowl?
Oh, I thought I was just going to stay home and do not a lot.
That'd be dumb. How about you come drink beers with me at the Catfish?
All right, let's do it.
Oh, come on, man. That's what we do every year. That's awesome. Can't wait. The Catfish on Monday. What is it? February 12th?
It's going to be
9 a.m. at the Catfish. Your mates, Gaz and Jimmy from NFL Australia. It's going to be there with bells and whistles. We have the live stream going as well. So you can either join us in person or virtually. It's like watching it with mates. It's absolutely awesome. You can just follow along through all the socials at NFL Australia. And away we go. Gaz, you excited?
Yeah, pumped.
Absolutely big Kev levels. Love to see it. NFL Australia, the Catfish, Super Bowl party. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
See yous.
That's right. It is NFL Australia. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You can see me on Fox Sports Lab NFL. You can see me on NBA Australia. You won't see me for a couple of days. Going to go have some surgery tomorrow, guys. That'll be fun. Here in Larryama Studios currently, though, just chilling, not illing, sweating like a priest near a preschool, but it's all right. On the other side of this here computer, it is a bloke just out here. I know, drinking too much, working too much, meetings, hiring coordinators, all the good stuff. It is sometimes singing at a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jimmy, you're right. I am a little bit hungover this week because I started pulling beers on the weekend. I jumped the bar and jumped on the other side, mate. I've started pulling beers at a pub.
Doesn't that get you kicked out usually?
Yeah, it does. I like that Barney, like just putting your head under the tap kind of shit. But, you know, what do they say about letting Dracula free in the blood bank? So, this is what's going on. So, yeah, but I did find time to watch a couple of sneaky football games today, mate. It was an interesting day.
Good thing is we've got a Super Bowl. Weird thing is, it's the same one from 4 years ago.
Yes.
So, rad. Let's go. So we'll talk about the games, obviously wrap those up as we usually do here on NFL Australia. We've got some yeah nows. We've got the good bloke and flog of the week. There's Outback Takehouse. And our early picks, because usually what we do is do a quick early pick for this show. And then next week, sort of break down some things that we think will happen, right? We do usually do 10 yeah nows for the Super Bowl and come up with some, you know, play Jimmy's best bets usually. I think pops up there, here and there. I think we did all right last year. So that'll be fun. But either way, today, talking championship games and a bunch of other stuff like coaching gear. So without further ado, we should bloody well get into it. Episode 96 of NFL Australia. Nearly at the ton, guys. Nearly at the ton.
Let's do it.
Let's go. I've been broken. Great job, man. Great job. I'm proud of you, but we're never going to be back here again. This is Dan Campbell, and you're listening to NFL Australia. I feel like it was weird that he was like, we might not ever be back here. It's like, Jesus, Dan, just relax, mate.
I know. Maybe. It's a bit harsh.
Anyway, there you go. Championship games are done, guys. AFC, NFC. One was the upset, as predicted by your mate, Jim. Had KC, nailed that pick. Felt much more like it would be a cover by KC without them perhaps winning outright, but I did not ever feel bad about that KC pick. And we were crushing the San Francisco pick at the line as well until the bloody late silly touchdown. So thanks a lot there, everybody. And
costing your mate Jim a bit of cashola.
But still, KC versus San Francisco. Repeat of 4 years ago, 2020. We did a Super Bowl party at the Catfish for this exact game for Jimmy G versus Mahomes, wasn't it?
Yep.
And it was like, what, 31-24? 31-20. Yeah, something like that. 31-20, I think it was. Yeah, it sounds right. Okay. Anyway, interesting setup. More so, I think, interestingly today, this is why doing a Monday show is fun, because it's all fresh.
Yeah.
It's right.
It's like we're not trying to remember games from Friday, Jim.
Awesome. interesting sort of gear. Like, should we go into the wrap-ups really in a second? Love this matchup, though. I feel like this is what we're already one of the year NAS. I think this is probably my favorite outcome matchup. But I want to flag this right here and now, guys.
Mm.
shit uniform matchup. Hate it.
Yeah.
Same fucking colours. I hate
it. Yeah, I knew that popped up to my mind, you know, when all of the conspiracy theory about the fix is in, the script is in, we've seen the colour of the logo, it's going to be the Ravens, all that sort of stuff. And then I realised that both teams are red and I'm like, God, oh, Chip's going to fucking hate this.
I really do. Like, it wasn't too bad last time, but it's just like you're so used to seeing that team, if it's like a home away, if they're in the whites, it's still got the red tinges and stuff like that. Yeah. KC obviously have been much more of the yellow. San Fran, you've obviously got much more of the gold. But yeah, still, you know, compared to what we could have had, where you have the amazing blue. Like, if you had the blue and the purple, again, bad. Yeah. Bad, 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 bad. If you have, like, a mix of either, we would have been laughing, but still, probably the best football game. Other bits before we do everything else, because this all sort of popped off, essentially, because we did a Monday night show last week as well, we did miss a bunch of the coaching gear where we saw Carolina pick up Dave Canales, the OC for Tampa Bay. Which is pretty interesting because it's like, okay, so you had a okay year with Tampa Bay, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if Dave Tepp is just cheaping out or if they're just like, all right, we're going to build something here and we've finally gotten on the same page. Atlanta took Raheem Morris, which felt like much more of the power struggle of like, we're not going to take Bill Belichick because he's going to come in, throw his giant nuts on the table and tell all of our GM existing front office people to fuck off. And they won that power battle with Arthur Blank, clearly. And he's like, all right, we'll just give Raheem Morris 5 years. It's like, to be honest, it's not a bad hire.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just saying. Tennessee, Brian Callahan. Interesting one as well. You feel like that's just a bit of a patch-up job with the Titans. Raiders made Antonio Pierce legit, which was good.
Yep.
And it's kind of what we talked about, right? It's like they should have done that with Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
And they fucked that up. So they might have made the right decision this time. And obviously the Chargers had Harbaugh. I think that was actually, that had just hit last week when we talked about it.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be interesting to see. Oh, honestly, like that's probably the biggest name, the biggest, the biggest draw card. It's going to be interesting. What guys he surrounds himself with and his support staff and then what he does around Herbs and that. You know, somewhat aging wide receiver core.
I find it weird. It's like, oh, I was starstruck when I met Justin Herbert. I'm like, Jim Harbaugh, you're not me. Like, settle down, mate. Like, he's a kid, and you're like a grown ass man who just won a national championship with Michigan. What are you doing to get? Anyway, two open jobs left. I think I always love this sort of situation, right, where it's like the dude who's like the favorite for one of these open jobs was a Mike McDonald there in Baltimore. The defensive coordinator, right? He's like for Washington? I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then they lose. Mm-hmm. And you're like, was that because you were busy prepping for, or at least having your name out there and doing this stuff? Yeah. It's always a bit weird with that sort of stuff, but I don't know. It's like, it's always just a wonky one. It seems like he's like a, you know, young up and comer. And I think that's, you can't really go wrong, I think, with that, right?
It is always kind of weird at the how it affects. I was reading some stuff this week about how it affects the teams that go deep into the playoffs, like what the Eagles did last year and had with Gannon and Steichen. Gannon made that call extremely late to go to the Cards, and it was all rumored to be working in the background. But that means that all of the higher candidates are already gone, so you end up reaching and hoping for a developmental guy. Yeah. And that's always the risk with someone like, Washington and Seattle holding on. Like, oh, we think we know who we want. And then if that falls through, you're screwed, right?
It's weird. But so Washington and probably, I think he's meeting with them like this week again now that they're out. So anyway, so two open jobs left, obviously Seattle, Washington. The weird thing obviously is that, it's fucking weird that Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Mike Vrabel didn't get geeks.
Yep.
Right? That's weird. It's weird. Yep. They're good. Like, there's a reason why their teams probably moved on and sort of hit a different part of, like, where they were sort of operating from, right? Like, all of those teams were very much, like, in different spots from probably where they were, two years ago?
Definitely, yep.
And, it's kind of weird. Like, I feel like if you're Washington, it's like, we want to be taken seriously as a franchise, then go get a serious fucking coach.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Or
get a flat-out developmental one. Cool. Atlanta, it's just like the same thing's going to happen with Atlanta. Raheem Morris, God bless him. He's already failed once.
Yeah.
He's probably older, wiser, way better.
Mm.
But like, if you're going to be a winning fucking franchise, go get like a proven winner.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A good job, Raheem Morris. Yeah. He deserved that one. So, Philly, though, how are you feeling, Gaz? You've got Kellen Moore as your offensive coordinator. You've got Vic Fangio as your defensive coordinator now.
It's interesting how it all went down. So, Vic was obviously, he'd come in as a consultant during the Super Bowl run before ending up at, we didn't know that Gannon was going to go. And then, so we didn't obviously have a spot. So then he ends up at Miami. And then Gannon does go. And we're like, ah, fuck. But so Sean Desai and Gannon were both from the Fangio tree. So now we've gone out and got the original dude. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes because he's still got that bend, don't break type defense. See how that goes. But Kellen Moore's the more interesting, weirder target that we didn't actually interview that many OCs. There wasn't a lot of names thrown around, but he only had that, beginning of this season, we're talking about how the Kellen Moore offense could change the Chargers. And he'd just come from Dallas where he'd been knifed and thrown under the bus. And now all of a sudden he's going to play Dallas twice a year. But, you know, has his quarterback spend a lot more time under center, and Hurts is exclusively shotgun so far. He runs more motion than we do. And it'd be interesting to see what, he did well with Dak in Dallas, so we'll see what happens.
Nice. Cleveland taking Ken Dorsey as their offensive coordinator. Mm. I don't know what about that Bills offense that made them really just go, that's our guy.
Yeah.
Falcons, Zach Robinson coming along from the Rams as well as their OC. He was like their quarterback's coach, so that's interesting. But I like that where it's just like, it's like our mate. I'm going to go promote my mate. I love that.
Sure.
And there's a few other little ones, but like whatever. I don't know. Seattle, Washington, it's kind of like they're both in weird transition phases as well. Obviously, Washington full rebuild. Seattle is just like, we don't really know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah. Like,
we're not sure if Geno's the dude. Yeah. But we don't also have our second round pick this year because we gave it up for Leonard Williams and that just didn't fucking work. So
didn't work.
Good job. There you go. That's all the coaching gear. Yeah. Should we do it?
Let's wrap. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's talk about these games.
AFC and NFC title game. So, yes. KC, 17. Never in doubt. 10, Baltimore. Always in doubt a little bit, I reckon, in the back of your head. But Baltimore just never felt like they were in the, like, from the first fucking drive, Gas.
Yeah.
Was it 8 straight games now at KC have scored in the first drive, which is awesome. It felt like it was going to peter out there for a second, and then he hits Kelsey with an awesome throw over the top. Boom. And then KC just fucking strangled, like, well, Baltimore score late with the Flowers one, wasn't it? And then basically didn't score again until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, they just strangled the shit out of them. They scored on the first drive. They never looked back. Felt like they're always moving the ball. The only worry that I probably have, like, going into this Super Bowl is, like, KC, didn't score in the second half?
Well, they didn't do much of anything. To be honest, the first KC... Mahomes started 11 for 11, and those first two drives were just methodical. And then there was the odd highlight reel play from Lamar, like the touchdown over the top where he bought himself time and then went over the top to Zay Flowers. That was fucking beautiful. And then there was that weird one where it was the tipped pass to himself that he took for 13 yards.
Amazing. Absolutely.
But in the second half, they were able to move the ball. It was the Snead punch out while Zay Flowers diving for the end zone. Whoops. And then it was the horrible, horrible Lamar interception. And then it was just done, right? Like it was back to the old KC of, oh, we're going to go to Kelsey 11 times, add a little bit of rice in there and you get yourself a meal. No, and a little bit of Pacheco sprinkled around there, and they did enough, right? So still under 20 points. It's hardly that high-powered Chiefs offense that we're used to. But, yeah, as you said, the defense strangled them, and off we go.
Like, hindsight's 20/20, right? Mm. And it's one of those things where I pick KC, but I always thought it would at least be like a sneak over where they win it 24-21, right? And I think the over-under in this one was 44.5, so it's exactly that score, basically. And it never quite got going, even though they had, 17 points in the first half.
Yeah.
You're like, it never felt like it was just going to fucking explode. And you kind of thought, well, maybe Baltimore might be the team that does it. Because what, coming out of the first half, it was like punt, 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 punt. And then there was the fumble.
Yeah.
And another fucking punt from KC. And you're feeling like, oh shit, Baltimore could actually grab this. And then it's like the Snead punch out.
Yeah.
Like, Flowers fucks up on that 54-yard taunting call like a moron.
Yeah.
Completely fucking cooks them. And then gets the fucking, he has the fumble and then the triple coverage interception where it's like, you can sort of, I feel like the one thing you'll probably hear a lot of now is like Ravens go, oh, we got hosed by the refs. It's like, well, there was that weird one in the triple coverage where even Romo and go like, well, look, it's not part of the thing. And it's like, it looks a lot like pass interference, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And I love it when they bring like the Gene Steratoros of the world go, all right, Gene, tell us why the refs got this one right. And he's like, oh, well, they clearly saw this and that's why it's right.
Yep.
It's like, thanks, fuck it. Anyway, but it feels like Baltimore just cooked it more than anything for me. Like Lamar was like sailing shit. Mahomes was like methodical and they sort of did enough and their defense was fucking fantastic.
They ran the ball 16 times. That's all. You've got that ground game. Gus Edwards ran the ball 3 times.
Justice Hill was so one of my favorite bets in this one was like if you look at the game plan last week, right? So KC gave up a shit ton of yards on the ground to Buffalo. And I'm like, all right, Ravens, you've got this sort of three-headed monster of Lamar, the threat of Lamar, Gus Edwards, for like, you know, sort of good short yardage stuff, probably punch went in, and Justice Hill sort of just as the change of pace, move him around, get him in there. So 25 yards for Justice Hill, 25 yards for Gus Edwards, and like, I don't know, 40 for Lamar, and you're absolutely laughing. And by the second quarter, I'm like, that bet is cooked.
Yeah.
Like, unless Justice Hill snaps one off on the outside out of nowhere, then I'm fucked. And yeah, it obviously didn't come close because Justice Hill had 3 yards and 3 fucking carries. And like Zay Flowers had more yards and he also, fumbled a fucking ball.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it felt like KC just had a way better game plan. I thought their defense, Steve Spagnuolo's defense just was really fucking like on point today of just like confusing Lamar, like blitzing, then not blitzing, like disguising blitzes. And then just, it felt like they, similar to what we saw, like, I don't know, Detroit due to San Francisco, at least in the first half, right? Like where they just sort of took away the shit that made them good.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore just had no plan B, it felt like. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Strange game. Baltimore, this is it. You always feel a bit wary of like, you know, the written in one seeds going straight through to the Super Bowl. But the Chiefs, if they're going to get points, even if Mahomes is on the road, now he's got the 2 road wins. I don't think we ever need to talk about that stat again, do we?
No, we don't.
It's fucking fantastic. So I thought it was a great win. I thought they were really good, even though they didn't score in the second half.
And Lamar's now, 2-4 in the playoffs?
Not great.
Not great.
Two-time MVP, though, Gaz. Two-time MVP.
Yeah.
Like he's got as many MVPs as playoff wins. So, not great. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about on this one?
No, that's. I think we've pretty much covered it. Yeah.
Flowers are going to pop up again later. Hashtag
no doubt.
Detroit, 31. Niners, 34. I was messaging my San Francisco mates back in the States. They were shitting it. Absolutely shitting it. Why was that? It's because they were fucking down 17 at the half, Gaz. It was absolutely brutal. They couldn't set an edge. It felt like everything doing... Like, they made... I was messaging those Niners mates going, how are you making Jared Goff look like fucking Peyton Manning? This is nuts. Like, the completions were flying thick and fast. But they were also just like really nice, crisp sort of routes. Like they were really quick and under and just hitting like to the fucking outside edges, right? And just.
Yeah, Laporta. Some Brown did a couple of passes in a row towards the end of the first half. There was that third and 18 and under in the last 2 minutes of the half and they converted it. Like so it was wild. And they were running, like Montgomery was running over them and then. Dribbling a little bit of Gibbs in there, and then all of a sudden it didn't look like how the fuck are the Niners going to come back? It wasn't like was that one first half interception by Purdy, and you're like, oh fuck, they're cooked here. And then I don't know what they took at halftime, Jim, but it was a completely separate different second half.
So the key aspect, obviously, that everyone's going to talk about is the field goal at the end of the first half. It's like, oh, I thought Dan Campbell was a man. He always goes for it. It's like, look, at the time, you're sitting there going, we're the fucking points. These dudes up.
Yeah, take the points. Yeah.
It's like, oh, but if you always do the thing, then you should always do the thing. I don't know. Sometimes you don't have to always fucking do the thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was an okay move at the time. In retrospect, maybe not. But also, like, this is it. Like, it's missed field goal opportunities. Well, it's like, yeah, field goal opportunities that aren't there, and like you have fumbles and this sort of shit, and you're like giving it up on downs, etc. They'd probably come back to bite you on the ass, but I don't know. It was like the Lions were looking so good and so crisp, and then the Niners came out and just like fucking lit them up. Like, yeah. It's pretty crazy, right? So,
if you look for that turning point moment, I mean, the turning point moment for in the Chiefs games was that, was the Zay Flowers punch out, because they were moving the ball to come back. If you look at it, what the moment would be in this game, San Fran went down and kicked the field goal after in a first drive, then got the ball back. And then it was the catch by Ayuk off the defender's face mask that drops him down. There was already a penalty, and then drops him down in like the five. They punch it in there on the very next drive. Then they're full of fucking confidence. And then the very next drive, Gibbs fumbles.
Yeah.
They get the ball back, punch it in again, and then all the momentum is fucking the route was on by that point, right?
It really was. It's like momentum just, that's how it swings sometimes. Yeah. It's like, boom, straight away. Like everyone was losing their shit with that fumble.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, completely warranted because it was the exact thing that they needed right fucking then. And so
defense boom, away turned to water, right? Like fucking McCaffrey was running over people. Use check is like halfway down the field making catches. The fucking pretty one that like you thought, oh, Purdy's going down. Oh, no, he's just dumping it 20 yards down the line to Juszczyk, tiptoeing out of bounds. Like, it was great. It was great.
There was, obviously, and then sort of like compounding that was the Josh Reynolds drops, right? Like, time and time. It's like, dude, just fucking catch it, would you? Like, you're right there.
Hands. Yeah.
Hands. Like, that's sort of also what short-circuited them, I think, a little bit. And then, look, Dan Campbell goes for it twice in the red zone. That's who he is. That's fine. Like, this is my vibe. You can't shit on the dude. Be like, oh, well, you do it all the time, but it got you this far, but now you should do it different. It's like, no, you should do the thing that got you here, motherfucker. Like,
exactly. That's like, what got them there.
The amazing stat where they went through for it on like that, like a specific, like at 21 out of 24 times, right? I think this season they were successful in that spot. And like, they just went 0-2 today. Like, it's fucking brutal, but that's how it goes sometimes. I think the weirder thing for me was like, especially if you're throwing to Josh Reynolds all the time and he keeps dropping the fucking ball, like hold the pill, get a hold of the pill, would you? Amon Ross and Brown like just wasn't sighted until like the last drive, and they're like, oh yeah, the dude who had 1500 fucking yards and like 10 touchdowns and shit, he's actually good, hey, so maybe we should fucking throw it his way. It's like, no shit, Sherlock, like, what the fuck have you been doing? This is chaos. So I'm angrier at that probably more than the Dan Campbell go for it. Twice, you know, because it's like, just give it to your best fucking receiver. Like, I thought they used LaPorta really well. Mm-hmm. The sort of mix around of Montgomery and Gibbs is pretty good. And then the Gibbs fumble hurt you, obviously. But I don't know, man. Use your best weapon. Just saying. Yeah. But then there was like the clock management where they sort of fucked it up, right, in the last minute or so. And that was game over at that point. Yeah. Call the timeout after you run the fucking ball. That's a problem.
Yes.
Someone should have figured that out, but cost them the game.
Maths, Jim. Maths is hard.
Maths is hard.
When you realize that you have to have that onside kick because you're out of timeouts to stop them if you give them the ball.
Because you ran the ball like an idiot.
Because you ran the ball like an idiot.
Well, yeah, it was like 30. Was that? It was before the touchdown, right? So it was like 34
Correct. Yeah.
34-24 or whatever, and they had to call a timeout. It's just like the dumbest.
Stuffed, and they didn't even make any progress. Got stuffed there. So at least if you've gone for it, you know, you might lose the down, but fuck. Yeah. At least the clock, so, you've lost a couple of seconds, right?
So Detroit could look at this and go, well, it's our most successful year in 30 fucking years. It's all right. Yeah. At the same time, they probably should have won this fucking game. You're up 17. Like, 100%. It would have been a point where if you're a Lions fan, you're like sitting there going, I guess, so we're going to Vegas? What are we doing? Like, at halftime, you'd be looking there just going, well, I've got a hotel on Expedia. I mean, flights are pretty exy, but I reckon we can do it. No way you go. But they completely cooked it.
I mean, there was the two things, one and that'll pop up later, sure, but the CJGJ waving goodbye to the crowd at halftime, like the game was over. But before this, Jim, you've probably got a valid reason, because before this game, teams that were up by 17 at the half in championship games were 21-0, Jim. No one had ever lost. And when you turn around that by that lose.
I'm no math magician, Gaz, but 100% is a big number. So.
Yeah, and when you turn that into a trailing, although the final score was there was the garbage time TD. Well, it wouldn't have been garbage time if they hadn't fucked the clock. But that turned around to a 10-point deficit from a 17-point lead. That's fucking wild.
It's so frustrating as well because they were so electric early on and it was just like flowing and they were kicking the piss out of this fucking defense. Like the Jameson Williams like run where he just like, oh shit, he's still going. Oh, motherfucker, off he goes.
Yep.
And you're like, God damn, that touchdown. And you're like, yes, Jameson Williams rules.
And even the defense, the secondary for the Lions was playing all right, which has obviously been their weak point all season. And it was okay. It held them to 7 points to the half. And anyway,
Debo was sort of doing enough as well. Where you're like, I figured he'd be less involved just with the fucking giant, horrible collarbone shoulder injury. And he's just getting trucked and he's just trucking dudes because Debo Samuel's a fucking machine, apparently. Because Ayuk was one of my favorite looks for this one for receiving things. And without that just stupid helmet catch, like he would have been zero, like it was like two fucking catches basically at that point. He had like one really early, which is nice.
Yep.
There was the Ushek one where it's just like, oh, cool. He's going to take all the Ayuk ones now, apparently. Mm. And Kittle, I was sort of hoping that there'd be more Kittle red zone gear, and it just sort of never clicked into gear. But, you know, there's always next week for them. Not so much Detroit.
No.
How did you feel about Purdy? Oh, actually, no, we can do that in Nars. Let's do that then. Yeah, Nars, is Purdy actually fucking good, Gaz? Figure this out for me, would you?
He looked pretty damn good today. He was the buying of the time when they were really driving at home, and all the momentum, his escapability and those runs down the field were like, oh shit, you got to respect that as well now. And there were some very pretty passes, just little lobs when they needed to be, bullets when like got a bit of oomph to it when needed to be. Like some of that, like as I mentioned before, that one down to Juszczyk down the sideline when you thought that he was going to get caught.
Yeah, the play was
that
over,
was
right?
Dead. Like, that was pinpoint. And stuff. Some of the stuff up top. Obviously, guys like Ayuk and Kittle and Debo make your life easy when you can just kind of put it up and they will go up and get the ball. But still, like, he wasn't game managing today. He had to make that comeback happen. In combination with guys like McCaffrey.
The scrambling was amazing. It's like, what's he doing? Oh my God, he's taking off. This is awesome. It's like, did he just turn into Lamar? What are we doing?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Purdy experience today. Oh, I don't know if Niners fans did as much, but at the end they're like, oh, I really enjoyed that. Is this the best Super Bowl we could have hoped for out of all of it? Seeing what we saw,
I still feel like I would have liked. So I would have liked a Lions, Ravens, but if you could pick the point in the season with the form that they take into the Super Bowl, like peak Ravens, you know, when they were kicking the piss out of the Niners, like, you know, that in the Super Bowl would have been awesome, right? It's from a Niners point of view, it's probably the most balanced team, because you got, you know, when you've got Bosa on one side and Warner, and you've got, you know, that the whole arsenal of weapons on offense, that they deserve to be there, and they were they had earned the most out of the NFC. I don't know. Are we gonna get the high flying Super Bowl that you want to see with KC now?
No.
So that strangling defense and the just enough offense, a little more one dimensional. Like this is gonna be a grind out Super Bowl, isn't it?
Yep. I think. Yeah, you're right. I think the upside on Ravens Niners would have been pretty insane. Like, I mean, that sort of seems like the two most balanced teams would have been going at it. But then what we saw today is, like, the Ravens, just the offensive balance is always a little bit out of whack at times this year. And then Zay Flowers also fucked them. But still, KC, I feel like it comes down to, like, a really sort of much more pure kind of aspect of, and you've heard this a million times already, right? The way that KC have won through this year, it's very reminiscent of, like, all the times that we had, like, a shit Patriots team. They just knew how to win.
Yep.
It's like at some point it just sort of gets into your blood and you just know how to do it.
Yep.
And so, like, the way that they won, like, the fucking Rams Super Bowl, for instance, like, it's just like, shit team, just would strangle the absolute shit out of you and just win. And yep. You're like, all right, cool. That's kind of what the Chiefs are at the moment. The Niners, I'm like, I feel like their upside between them and the Chiefs is higher, but I'm really, really, really wary of picking them, just because, like, even my Niners mates, is like, they've not been good since, you know, before, like, the week before Christmas, basically.
Yeah,
they've sort of been arsing it a little bit. It's like, yeah, that's fair, but they're also pretty fucking talented. So I don't know. Is it also just that we never get two number one seeds in the Super Bowl, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, like it's always a dark horse, right? Like, who was the number one seed in the AFC last year?
That is a very good question. I can't remember.
The Eagles were.
Who would have been? Might have been. Maybe Buffalo last year. Who knows?
Oh,
I can actually figure this out for you and just go skadoosh. Your number one seed last year was actually KC.
Ah, there you go. It was the number one seed. So, yes, we don't have to go back far.
But yeah, we had 2-1 seeds.
Yeah. So, is definitely a nah.
Prior to that, like, yeah, the one seeds was stuff like the Packers and the Titans in 2021, 2020. Yeah. Chiefs and Packers again. So, like, it's pretty rare. 19, obviously, the Ravens got knocked out, and there was the Niners that year in the NFC. So, yeah, it's still very, very rare, though, that it actually happens. That's happened once, at least, in the last, fuck, you can keep going, it's probably 10 years. 17, that was Pats, Eagles, I reckon that would have been the Super Bowl year, too. Anyway, don't need to talk about that game, I'd say that much. Anyway, Romo, how are we feeling in this, Gaz? Can we quit it with the fucking legacy talk? Jim, it's all about the legacy of this road, Jim. It could be legacy of defining. It's like, all right, Romo. I think we're kind of like, when you balance out how good Greg Olsen is in the second game as like your special comments guy, even though Kevin Burkhardt's fucking just like listening to paint dry, I think. Like, he's fine, but it's not like Joe Buck or something, right?
Yeah.
You just like listen to Romo and you're like, I don't know really that you're giving that much insight now. You know? When you were fresh out of the game, you were fucking bang on. You're predicting plays. You're just like fucking on it. Now you're just like an excitable puppy and it's weird. What do you reckon? Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't like, he's forcing it a bit and run out of a bit of shit to say. Like when he came out.
I don't know about that, Jim.
Yeah, when he came out, you were like, what the fuck? Like, this guy is Nostradamus over here, just like picking plays and all that sort of stuff. And now it's just kind of. Yeah, he's just another talking head, isn't he?
Very strange. I don't know. Mahomes. Now, we hit on this one last week. Like, he can, I think the question last week was he can crack the GOAT talk very quickly. Can't he? Now he's in another Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah. Nah, we can easily sort of start inserting him into GOAT conversations.
Definitely. Because of how, like, how much of his career is still to go, right?
Presumably, right.
It's hardly like he's going to fall off a cliff. As mentioned, like, you know, the rumors of Andy retiring after this year, but whether it happens or not, you know, He's Andy's starting to get into the into those conversations too, because he's about to start knocking off a whole bunch of records, right? Like he's closing in on those on the dudes at the top. So he's still a fair way behind Bill, and Bill's not done yet. So that'll definitely happen. But mate, that's a pretty impressive resume that Mahomes has put in front of him, particularly after losing weapons. And you know, Brady did the same thing, like didn't have that many weapons, and then they went out and got Randy Moss, and they had that crazy fucking year. And then, you know, the Pats, as much as they would, they fucking hated drafting any successful wide receiver or running back to help him out. Was always picking up, making the most of other teams' offcuts.
N'Keal Harry, Sonny Michel, what are you talking about? I guess. Fuck.
Yeah, but they did a really good job of obviously taking other teams' offcuts. Yeah. And making the most out of them. So, yeah.
But six straight AFC Championship games, four in the last five Super Bowls is fucking crazy. That's wild. If you win this one, it's three already.
Yep.
We'll talk about that again in a second. Good bloke of the week, unless you've got any other nahs there, guys. No. Do you want to talk about the Fallen? Like, the Ravens, I feel like this was probably their best chance at nailing this and getting it right. Whereas the Lions, it feels like they've got much more to build on, right? Like, they've got much more of the sort of upside. Youth, the Goff stuff is probably like, how much do you reckon he's topped out? It also would have been very weird to go, Jared Goff is like the fourth dude ever to play in two Super Bowls with two separate teams.
Yeah.
You're like, Jared fucking Goff? So yeah. Maybe it's
look, there's a few Goff. There's a few things in there. I think for the Ravens, what's got in their way the last couple of years of pulling things together is injuries, and they stayed relatively healthy at the right positions this year.
As we said, this year they were fucking decimated early, but that gave them just enough time to get perfectly healthy for the run.
For the right time. And the Niners, the Lions, I believe, part of the reason they're like, well, this could have been our best chance is I think they got a lot of free agents this year that they won't be holding on to. And then, of course, you've got that element that we touched on before of the coordinators being in demand, right? So you start to lose coaching staff, you start to lose players to free agency because they have made a deep run, and then all of a sudden it's hard to keep that up for a lot of years.
True. Speaking of which, good bloke of the week, he'll be buying a beer, Dan Campbell. I just fucking love the guy. Yeah. It's just, like, it sucks that he's going to get this sort of like, oh, I can't believe you kicked the field goal. Oh, I can't believe they turned the ball over twice on the rim down. It's like, look, how did you make the fucking NFC title game? It's by being like aggressive all the time, just like everyone having the belief in like every time we're going to go for it, we're going to fucking get it.
Yep.
And like you got to put a lot of stock in that. So I'm buying him a beer because I've fucking thoroughly enjoyed the Dan Campbell experience. Yeah. Brock Purdy, I thought that was a really seeing the wheels on him was probably the fun part, right? Of like, oh my God, he's taking off again.
Like a little kid.
He's going to get killed. Oh, he's gotten down. Good on him. Very nice. Kelsey, obviously, you had a nice smooch at the end. It doesn't need me to buy him a beer.
No.
Just Swifties. But MVS, Redemption, thy name is MVS. I'll talk about him again in a second, but everybody in KC probably owes him a few couple of tins there, Gaz. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely after he's just popping up. There's not the expectation on him. He just has to pop up for his couple of catches, use his speed, take the top off it, clear it underneath for Rice and Kelsey, and off we go.
And then won the game for them today.
Won the game for them.
With one fucking sick catch. Yep. The oil tanker. Flog of the week, a.k.a. old mate. No, mate. CGJ. I always hate saying his fucking name. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
CJGJ.
Yeah, CJGJ. I don't know. Doing the wave at halftime is it's a rough look when you lose. Yeah. You know? It really is. It was funny because he lost. And it's like, dude, that's...
Yeah, he's that kind of the cockiness is the kind of the part you love about him, and he's just got no filter. But also, after he's been calling out Debo and stuff during the week, and then you give up that, it's tough.
Josh Reynolds, the two drops, that's an old mate, no mates. Mm. If everyone in Detroit going, dude, can you... like? It's a hard one to walk down the street after a game like that, and like someone will throw something to you and go, catch that, dickhead. And he was like, oh, not this again. Fuck. And then, of course, Zay Flowers. Just one of the all-time weird chaos games where sick touchdown, great job.
Yep.
negates the big chunk of the 54-yard gain with a taunting penalty.
Mm.
Not only just a taunting penalty, but he like taunted three times basically on the one taunt, which is actually kind of impressive. Like to do the push back down, to spin the ball on the dude and then stand over him, it's like, that's three separate different taunting penalties. Like, what did you think was going to happen, you fucking idiot? And then the fumble out of the end zone, the punch out from Snead, like that's a combination. Awesome play by Snead, but also you will see a lot of the criticism of like Flowers. It's like, yo, you're trying to like make the hero play and dive across as you're also getting fucking poleaxed by two dudes.
Yep.
That could happen. It's like, well, you know, he's right there at the end zone. You want to get across. It is like a little bit of the hero sort of vibe, but fumbles out of the end zone and then busts his hand punching the fucking bench, Gaz.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do receivers use to catch balls?
I think you might need some fingers mate.
I mean, you could also say their mouth. I don't know. It depends on who you're talking about. But look, the hand is probably a big part of that, I think, trying to catch the football. And punches it, hurts it. And you could see him afterwards as well when he was like having another one in the end zone. He's like, wow, my hand's a bit sore, man. It's like, yeah. Because you fucking drew blood punching a fucking bench, you moron.
Yep.
So that's some definite old mates, no mates. But that's like a hell of a game. Like he sort of ran the gamut of doing everything you can do on a football field as a wide receiver. Yeah. I feel like this is the guy that we should probably get away from Odell Beckham Jr. very quickly.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd probably add a little bit of Lamar onto that because when they needed him as much as your MVP, like that. The throws that you don't think Lamar did anymore.
That was, though, that massive one. It was awesome. Yes. And he fucking nailed the throw. He hits him in
over the top, over the top of the defender.
And then Flowers goes and fucks it up with the taunt.
There's just not enough of it, right? Yeah.
Anyway. Our back take, yes. It's Monday, Gaz, and that means, well, one of the squids was a bit sick today. And your old mate Jim's going to go have some surgery tomorrow, so he took it easy. We sent the baby out with the cricket bat this morning. Bang! That's right, magpie wings, only at Outback. It's a bit of the old wobble, 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 bang, or off they go. Bloody delicious with a flame grilled take. Today's flame grilled take is Marquez Valdez-Scantling was just foxing all year with the drops. It was part of his master plan, you see, Gaz, just to lull them into a false sense of security. And then bang, when it actually matters, he stepped up. The other one is Mahomes is already in ahead of both Mannings all time, and he's probably already top three. You just don't know it yet. Only at Outback. I'd have it Brady, Montana, Mahomes at this point, personally. Like, he's got the two. He's in another Super Bowl. He's in four. If he wins it, he's definitely top three for me. Like, you think about the others around that sort of three mark, and it's like, what, Troy Aikman? Fucking settle down.
No.
Like, just shit like that. It's like, nah. Brett Favre, nah. Rodgers, how about you win a fucking more than one Super Bowl, you fucking flog. Come on.
Yep.
Simple as that. So, I don't know. I think he's like, crazy upside to be in the GOAT conversation, and Brady's got to be sitting there, should I make a comeback? Like, here I am. I'm doing fucking like corporate functions in Australia and throwing footballs across a fucking shit goddamn room to Michael fucking Voss. What have I done with my life? I used to be married to a billionaire fucking supermodel. And here I am fucking throwing a ball 20 meters to Vossi. Jesus, I'm just going to walk into traffic. Like, what are you like? Just like there's a few, like, I don't know, a couple of teams that could use a quarterback. I mean, there's one up in New England, I'm just saying. So maybe you should come back. Little Aussie battler of the week. We've still got Wish. That's good.
Yep.
Nothing quite like having an Aussie in the Super Bowl. Always makes it way more fun. We saw that.
First Aussie to make two Super Bowls?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. Picks. Should we do it? Early picks.
Super early.
Super early picks. Yeah. Super early. So I picked up another one on you for the playoffs.
You got me in the playoffs.
I'm now three up.
You're going to steal beers off my tab on fucking Super Bowl Monday anyway, I might as well.
I just had my KC pick. We both had San Fran, and that came a cropper courtesy of the Jared Goff touchdown drive at the end of that game. Yep. they obviously still won, but we just had them at the -6.5, which was looking fucking great for most of that.
Oh, yeah.
But KC San Francisco. So this actually opened at 1.5, and I feel like it might be worth actually checking that and to see if it's already moved, because it's now 0.5. Simple as that.
Wow.
So that's basically just everybody go, fucking, we don't know, man. Yeah. So essentially, it's like, what team do you think wins? So
I'm going to take Kansas City in this one.
I think that's where I want to lend my vibe to, because I think we talk about units a lot, right? Like, what's the best unit out there? The KC defense was wildly underrated, I think, going into that Baltimore game. And everyone's sort of doing backflips to not give them as much credit as they probably ought to have gotten. And then you saw them just fucking choke the shit out of Baltimore, right? And it's like, Purdy, it's and all the weapons on that San Francisco offense is a different kettle of fish altogether. But on the other side, you've still got Mahomes that could probably, I mean, we saw Jared Goff just fucking throw the ball everywhere on this Niners defense out of fucking nowhere. And you sort of feel like Reed and Co should cook something up. And if it comes down to a fucking knockdown, drag out sort of match, which it feels like it could be, then I'd probably go KC. But if you feel like it's something, because it's Vegas, obviously, you know, big dome. I kind of feel like Mahomes just steps up on the big stage again. And just, I just don't want to bet against him ever. You know,
well, like you said, on paper, the talent of the Niners is there and they've got the ability to put up points. But in terms of recent form, you've got KC choking the shit out of cunts and San Fran not playing up to their capability, right?
And nearly losing to Green Bay, nearly losing to Detroit, and now they're going into a dome where it's like fucking even playing field and away we go.
Yeah.
So I think, 0.5 KC, and if they're like, it opened at +1.5, so it's already been bet down. So that means that people are like, we agree, Jim. So exceed it is. So, if that changes, well, that's what next week's show is for, is to sort of lock away all of the picks, Super Bowl MVP, the top 10-year NAS for the Super Bowl, and then King Jimmy's best bets and all that sort of stuff. The cool part will be that we'll also do that at our Super Bowl party.
At Fish Super Bowl party, for sure.
Party. Where Gaz and I will be at the Catfish.
Yeah.
Watching this Super Bowl. Just, you know, the old stomping ground at this point.
I know. We were there last night, Jim. And I ventured out into my cheesesteak realm. I didn't get the same thing I get every time. But the guys are going to put some specials on. Don't know what they are yet, but that'll get sent to us. There's going to be
this. I heard rumors of corn dogs.
There was. You did hear rumors of corn dogs. That is something that is going to be on there from what I have been told. But they'll also have some other specials for the day. They always do something weird and wonderful. And they are doing Sierra Nevada specials as well. Oh. They've usually got some sort of weird, not your normal Sierra Nevada on tap, as part of that American specials upstairs, and then your normal rotating Aussie taps downstairs. They're replacing one of the TVs downstairs, Jim. So there's going to be an extra one, and they've got increasing the size of it. So you'll be able to spread across the venue for those who are not there early enough to get seats upstairs with us. But the venue is opening at 9 a.m. with obviously kickoff around that 10:30 mark. And it's always an epic day.
It really is. And we're going to do our usual sort of preamble show. basically just 10-15 minutes of just talking some shit, setting the game up, and then getting the fuck out of the road and sitting there drinking beers on the couch at the front and doing a live stream as well. If you can't make it, you can still watch us.
Progressively drunker. Last year, you got to watch Gaz get progressively more stressed and angry. This year, I'm going to be relaxed and just getting drunk and talking about football.
I do have a super loop of Gaz getting sadder and angrier as he loses that.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that. Yep.
Either way, Catfish, what is that? Monday, February 12 our time, isn't it? It's February 11 over there, February 12 our time.
Yep.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's always a great day. One of the great days.
Yeah. And it's nicely not on Valentine's Day. So we've got enough time to get over my Super Bowl hangover before I'm expected to do, you know.
With the I think I'm going to Blink 182 on Valentine's Day this year. So
wow. There you go.
It's nice. Yeah. You know, nice sort of like, oh, what date is that show? Oh, the first one's, yeah, cool, sick, all right, let's do that. Old mate's like, yeah, sure. So that'll be great. So come down. The Catfish always packs out. It's a fucking great, it's literally the best Super Bowl party in Melbourne.
We've had people.
I'd actually probably say Australia.
There you go. There you go.
It looked amazing last year with the live stream. We'll have our gear and our guys there as well, running around causing some havoc, and it'll be fucking great. So nice. That's it, though. We have a Super Bowl set, KC, San Francisco. We're both taking KC at this point. We will reserve the right to change our minds for next week's show. I believe we'll probably do next week's show next Tuesday, a little bit closer to the actual Super Bowl itself, if only for, to be honest, a lot of King Jimmy's best bets. They open a little bit closer to the time. But also, I am getting my surgery on my fucking mouth tomorrow. So it'll give me about a week to recover to where I can talk. I hope and see how we fucking go. Woo! Can't nice wait. But in the meantime, of course, you can chuck us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Thank us a rating review on your Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all that good stuff. Whatever weird app you use on the Android phone. And of course, big thanks always go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule too. Get around NBA Australia. Last daily show for a little bit. Probably until, start of next week. Don't know how long it's going to be. Just don't know. And but we do have the Cricket Today podcast, which is absolutely smashing it today. We're on the back of that West Indies-Australia game. And the Football Today podcast. All the cricket and soccer gear that you need. Go subscribe to that right now. The boys do a great job. Gaz, you got something to plug. You've still got a gig.
I do, yeah. So on Saturday night, the 24th, the Ram Shackle Army are playing the Sorted Ordeal album launch at Shot Kickers in Thornbury with The Currency and a bunch of other bands. It's going to be fucking sick. And also, Jim, I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm getting my RSA. I'm helping out at a bar. I'm working at a dive bar in Thornbury called Nasties. Just every so often, jump behind the bar, pulling some beers, just helping them out when they get busy. Had a good night on last Thursday night. Got smashed and had to, we had Peter Hellier, Tom Gleason, one of the guys from Gatesy from Tripod, all sitting there, Rove, all just, kicking back, having a sneaky beer. But I'm going to open the bar early this Sunday and just do I'm just going to play an exclusively skate punk soundtrack from Tony Hawk Pro Skater and Fat Records and Punkorama compilations. While drinking beers in the sun. Anyone who wants to come down, skate punk Sundays at Nasties.
I feel like you've just pillaged my YouTube playlist. So nice one. What is it called? Punk rock Sunday.
Skate punk Sunday. I'm doing it at Nasties from 2 p.m. Come on down, have a beer. It's going to be low key, just chilling in the sun. Cash is going to make illusion shakers like the shitty nightclubs. You're shaking your head like that.
How many of those fucking things I made at Goo, you asshole? Fucking hell.
Oh. Goo and Bang and
I can still smell the illusion shakers just on my hands. Just, because they were $10 or $8, I think, we do Goo. And,
for those little shot glasses. Cash is trying to find the original, the missus is trying to find the original shakers that we can put them in. Good times. Good times.
Nice one. All right. Well, we will be back next week with a bigger Super Bowl specific preview. So tune in for that. That'll be fun as. And that'll be great fun.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to it. I love this. The 2 week period of the build up. It's sort of like you sort of get this week off where you go, oh, that's all right. Now I'm all really psyched. And then bang, it fucking just, it's an avalanche that last week and it's great. So all culminating in a drunken, just absolute chaos day. At the caddy. All right, there you go. We'll catch you next week then, you dickheads.
See
you.
Later, Hosen. I've been broken.